Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We do want to welcome everyone here today. We want to welcome everyone here with Facebook. Don't forget to keep praying for our country. We know there's some tensions going on with our country, with Iran or Iraq, one of the two. Iran, is it? With the oil tankers and stuff. You know, we just keep praying that God would give our president wisdom and show him what to do. I tell you, you got to defend your country. You got to defend the borders of our country. You got to, you know, do those things that need to be done. And sometimes when you have to do things, it may not be what the world wants. You do what is best and get the job done. So we pray for our president that God will anoint him and give him wisdom and show him how to handle all the affairs of the world, but mostly how to take care of the things of our country. And, you know, as a country, honestly, people, we're doing great. You know, as far as economy-wise and job rates and all this stuff, and you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we just keep praying to the Father that the anointing and the Spirit of God would settle over our country and to bring healing in the areas that need healing. But we do want to wish all men happy Father's Day to you. I know Andrew, I know last week he went to the prison and spoke Monday. And he was telling me that you spoke on hate, you know. That's a big one for them. That's a big one for everybody. But, you know, God had did some things. But I know Andrew's going back this tomorrow. Do you know what you're going to be speaking on? You're not sure? Okay. Why don't you come, and let's pray for him. Why don't you come this way, Andrew? We're going to pray with him. You know, it's not easy to walk into a place like that, and especially to talk about hate, you know. You know they have some hate in that place. Hate towards family, hate towards authority, hate towards God, hate towards, you know, that's whatever. But asking God and Him giving them the remedy, what can solve it. So if you would stretch forth your hand and stuff, and we'll pray for him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. And Lord God, I pray tomorrow as he walks in that building, you will give him favor. Lord God, give him favor with these inmates in the name of Jesus. Father, open up their hearts that a harvest could come forth. And Lord God, help that word that he preaches to penetrate the hearts of these men and some women and those women, Lord God, in that prison. Father, that it will melt away those things that need to be melted away, Father, and be brought down, Father. That, Lord God, that you will give him favor and the anointing of the Spirit of God will flow through him as he preaches that word. In Jesus' name, amen. I bless you. Let the Lord lead you and guide you. You know, probably a lot of men there, you know, their fathers aren't around. Yet they know their fathers, number one. You know, and so that might be something, you know, he might teach on a little bit, his Father's Day or whatever, but whatever it is, as the word of God goes forth from an anointed pastor or preacher, man, woman, whoever, child, it will penetrate the hearts of the people, and it will bring them low, and they will accept the Lord. You see, it's not by lights, it's not by heat or air conditioning, not by soft seats, but it's under the unction and the power of Almighty God that brings people to repentance. Not all the effects of what we can do in allurement from the world, but it's the power and the anointing that flows forth from an anointed preacher, and God takes those words and penetrates the hearts and lives of individuals, and they see themselves and they say, we need God. It's by the preaching of the gospel that brings people to repentance. And if the word says that's what it is, that's what it is. And nothing else. Nothing else. Father's Day. Well, I hope you like your flashlights, guys. So look, when you drink it, from last year we gave you cups. You can drink, you know, your water or your, knives last year. The year before we gave, that's right. Well, you can cut and you can do all kinds of stuff. Cut your meat, have a glass of water, and a flashlight in case electricity goes out. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father's Day was founded in 1910 by Sonora Smart Dodd, who lived in Spokane, Washington. The first Father's Day was celebrated on June 19, 1910. Sonora Dodd, who wanted to honor her father, William Jackson Smart, who is a single parent raising six children. So here we see Father's Day was started in 1910 by a woman that wanted to honor her father because the mother had died, and he, in 1910, was raising six kids by himself, you know, without a, you know, a wife to help him, and that was a hard job. And so she wanted to honor him in thanking him for the things that he had done in helping raise them into great women as they are. When we look at fathers, you know, we all come here today with maybe some good memories. Good memories of your fathers, you know. And maybe there are some shady memories too. When I mean shady, maybe some slight areas that you feel just wasn't good or correct. And I understand that. But probably we all could look at all of our fathers and we can find some good somewhere. Some have had maybe better fathers than others. But I think everybody here that I know of knew their father. Maybe, you know, they weren't to the best of your expectation in maybe how they lived or what they did. And if there's some areas that aren't too good, always remember you have a Heavenly Father that will help you. Amen. In today's society, a father, you see all the shows about fathers, and most of the time fathers are made fun of or look like they don't know anything. And that is basically the dumbing down, if you want to say, of fatherhood, which is not a good thing. Because you see, we have a father that cares about us, because he sent his son Jesus to die upon the cross for us, because he loved us. But we all know, you know, probably to look at our father, we know they loved us, and maybe they didn't express it like they should have. But you know what? Also, it says we as children have to forgive, you know, because hey, who's perfect? Jesus, yeah. That's the perfect answer. And that's the only one, the only one. So you see, don't let it be a stumbling block for you, especially on Father's Day, because some of us have our fathers, and some don't have their fathers today. Some have passed away, you know, and some are still alive. But we need to honor them in who they were and who they are. We may not like everything they did or what they said or where they were or in their lives and what they did, but yet we also know that they had a hard time back then also. And maybe they didn't have the liberties and so much freedom as we have today in knowing maybe what we should or should not do. Because you see, that word that we have, and we've been saved by the Spirit of God, that word brings liberty and freedom and helps us to become the mothers and the fathers that God desires us to be. You see? And without the word, it is an emptiness there, not knowing, maybe thinking about what I can or cannot do, but that word brings life to what we should be to our children, or should be to our wives, you know, as fathers, as husbands. But you know what, fathers, thank you. All men here. You know, I know, and I'm looking at every one of you guys, and we have quite a few that aren't here. But I know every one of you is a very hard worker. Hard worker. I mean hard worker. I mean, you get out there, you wake up, you go out there to do a job. And you do your jobs because God says, number one, it's an honorable thing for men to work. An honorable thing. They might say, well, Pastor, I'm retired. You worked, Tony. You worked in the past. Now it's time for you to take that benefit of retirement. But thank you for getting up, you know, going in, you know, hitting that clock, going to work, or even if you have your own business, to take that time to get out there and work and supply for your families so that you can have a nice home to live in. So you can have a nice vehicle to drive. And maybe some of you, maybe your fathers have passed away. Or some of you, your husband has passed away. But because of how hard maybe he worked, you have the benefit of it today. You're living in that benefit of what he has given to you. Thank your husband. You know, you might say, well, I work hard too. Thank you. Everybody works hard. Everybody works hard. You pull together. You pull together, you know. You pull together to make things work and to make things happen. But fathers, thank you. And I want to encourage you to live a life that is pleasing to him. See, when we get saved and we're on that path, we're saved. We gave our lives to the Lord, and we're going forth, and we're going forth, and we're doing what God wants us to do. If we stray off just a little bit, it gives place to the enemy to put thoughts and things in the minds of men and women that necessarily isn't good. And so we have to strive as men of God to keep the lamp glowing at all times, to keep that light there flowing at all times. Because you know, in the kingdom of God, God has placed the man in the home, then the woman, then the children. That's how God has placed it. And God has placed it for that reason, so that man could protect that woman and to protect the children and to supply for them however he works and does. You are the leader of that home. We were talking, Joy and I, you know, how long has it been since we've been reading the Bible together? 2 years? Maybe three. Every night, Jelaine and I, we have our own times, and you need to have your own time of reading your Bible and praying. But for the last 2 to 3 years, we've been reading every night, just about every night. Every once in a while we have to miss because we hear that, you know, whatever. But just about every night, we get in that bed and we have our Bibles. You know, in the Jimmy Swagger Bible, I like how it does, you know, one reads the black one in part, and the other one reads the red. But you read together as a couple because it brings unity and strength to a couple. See, the devil is trying to divide couples so that he can divide them and conquer. That's what he likes to do. He likes to take married couples. This is what he wants to do. Divide you up, if he can. however he can do it. So that one's on this end and one's on that end. And then the enemy comes as a devourer to devour that person, the man and the woman, however he can do it, whatever the weaknesses are. But you say, Pastor, if you read and you pray together, will that stop the enemy from all the effects of things that he wants to? No. But it will bring unity between you and that other person, you and your wife. And it will bring unity there because you're sharing the word of God together. You have to have your own times that you need to do, because that's personal between you and God. But then you need to come together as a unit of believers, as a unit. Because doesn't it say like one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put what? How many?
10,000.
It doesn't mean not just multiply to 2,000, but it goes from 1,000 to 10,000. That is multiplication by God that supersedes what mankind can do. And you see, that's what the enemy tries to separate, what God tries to bring together. You might say, well, Pastor, should we as a couple meet? I think you should. I'll be honest with you. We told that to certain couples, you know, trying to encourage. Read together. Pray together for your family. You need to have the individual times, but as the leader of your home, as the man of that home, oh, you're going to read. And you're going to say words that you don't know how to say. Because there's so many names that we don't know how to say. You just do the best you can. And you laugh about it and you go on. You know, but I tell you, the power of Almighty God, the power that is there. Do it while it's still time to do it. Come together. It could be in the morning. You know, retired couples have, you know, maybe a little bit more time today in the morning to come together, to pray together, to hold hands and say, Father, move upon our children in Jesus' name, Lord God Almighty. The power of Almighty God. See, we don't realize how much power God has given unto us as children of the living God. The name of Jesus that God has given us. The coming together that we shall put 10,000 to flight. Because you see, as a couple, you're in unity together like no other couple. You believe basically the same thing. You believe for the same thing. Your faith is not just your faith and not just your faith, the husband, but it's your faith that's put together and bonded together, and it brings the power of Almighty God, the unity of the Spirit of the Lord. But the devil will try to keep things separated. Don't let him do it in your home. Come together. Say, okay, let's pray together. That's couples. And I say, well, I'm single. Hey, get with your father just on a daily basis. I understand that. And let the power of God move upon your family and your heart and your soul. But thank you, fathers, for the things that you have imparted unto your children and unto your wife and being that leader in that home. I want you to turn, if you would, to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, look at verse 26. And it says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we come unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Go back to the verse 30.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Go to 32. No. 30, that's good right there. Here we see in Numbers 13 and 14 that Moses chose a man from each tribe to go and spy out the land of Canaan. That was the land that God... I know it says in one part of the verses that God told Moses that Moses went and did it to go spy out the land. And so Moses went to every tribe. There were 12 tribes. And he went and he got a man from each tribe. And he put them together and he said, go into the land of Canaan. Go there and spy out that land. But let me tell you the first part to this. If God gives you something, do you have to go spy it out? Go and take the land. However God says to take. Because you see, in going and spying out that land, we know Tim came back with a horrible report that there were giants in the land of the children of Anak. There were giants. That's where, you know, Goliath and all his brothers come from. That was the giants that were there. But God had already given the land to them, saying, children of Israel, this is your land. This is what I'm giving to you. He says, go in up into the mountain. See the land. What is it? Is it good or bad? Go into the green grass. Go into the desert. Go into the rocky mountains. Go into the valleys. Check out the people. See if they be strong or weak, few or many. They didn't know what was out there. They couldn't fly drones. They didn't have that. And spy out the land. Spy out the land. See what's going on out there. Look at the cities. See if they live in tents or in strongholds or houses. Bring of the fruit of the land and spy out the land for 40 days. So for 40 days, the 12 spies went to the land of Canaan. And they looked with these eyes to see. They saw the Goliaths. They saw the strong men that were there. They saw the cities that were walled up, that nothing, it seems like, could penetrate it. They saw the mountains. They saw the valleys. They saw what was in that land. They saw the fruit. And you know, it's an amazing thing. Moses said, he didn't say bring back a tree or bring back one of the, you know, a person that lives there. He said, bring back some of the fruit. What? That was spirit-led. And it says that Joshua came back with some fruit, that it was huge fruit flowing with milk and honey. That means he was producing the wealth of fruit. That means it was a fertile land. 10 came back with an evil report. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. As men of God, where do we fall? With the 10 or with the 2? Will you let the devil rob from you? Will you let the devil rob you of your finances? Then, will you let the devil rob you of your wife? Will you let the devil rob you of your children, your inheritance? Will you let the devil rob you of your grandchildren, your inheritance? God bless you. Will you let the devil come in and steal from you your finances? And steal from you your possessions, and steal from you what God has ordained for you a comfort to have in the future. You see, whose report will we believe? The people looked and they heard the ten, and they said, "There's there's giants, but we can't go. Oh, well, you know, it's, I don't know if I can take it. You know, they're gonna kill us. They have big cities. They don't just live in little tents. You know, we can't go in there." Or we will repeat, and what they were saying was truth. You know, it's not like they were making up giants in the land, or making up these walls, or making up the report that's happening. It was truth. And yet, look at the world today that will come and try to steal from us, steal from the children of God, the enemy. It says the devil comes to steal, kill, and let me tell you, and destroy. And he will do whatever he has to do. But let me tell you, when men of God stand up and say, "Devil, from this day forward, you have to come through me." Now, we're not doing it on our own strength, but let me tell you, it's the God in us. Caleb and Joshua knew their God. They knew what God could do, that God could kill every Goliath like he killed with David, the Goliath, with one stone. God could kill or destroy all the walled cities as he did with Jericho in putting his mighty foot down upon that city, and the walls come tumbling down into the earth, and they go in and they overtake it. You see, whose report shall we believe? Men, let's believe the report of the Lord. What God has given us, we can have. What God has put before us, we can have. Don't let the enemy come and steal from you anything that God has given you. Man said, "Well, how do I stop it?" On your knees before God. That's when we stand the strongest. When we are on our knees before, and that's just a posture of prayer. I'm talking about praying and interceding. But in letting God be God in your heart and life, and letting you be the light of the world or the light to your family. You see, women want to be led by a man. It's the truth. And you might say, "Well, go preach that in New York or California." But you have to understand the spiritual aspect of their lives. They're mad at God, most of them. And I'm not talking an overbearance of a man upon them. I'm not, no. But just to say, this is where we need to go. This is what we need to do. I've been with the Lord, and he spoke this to me. Now, that doesn't mean that God didn't give you women to help you. That's just like in the beginning. Why did he create Eve? To be what? A what? A helpmate. Ooh, people, catch it. You are the greatest helpmate your husband ever had. And remind him of that. And he'll say, "Yes, ma'am." Mr. Jerry, "Okay, Barbara." Yeah. But you see, God has given us as men helpmate for the man to lead and guide that family. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't speak something to your wife that he doesn't speak to, you know. But she can come and say, "What do you think?" And God can say, "Yes." See, working together as a mighty machinery, mighty force for the power of Almighty God. Letting God move upon your heart and upon your life. That's the power of Almighty God. See, we need to be the light, as it says in Matthew, being the light of the world, people. You as a man, you're a light to your family. You're a light to your community. You're a light. Let that light shine in your heart and in your life. Be that leader. Might say, "I'm trying to lead." Keep on trying. Letting God be God in you. Letting God be God in you. Look, I brought my flashlight. Might say, "Pastor, that's kind of a hard thing to be the leader." It is. It is. Like Jelaine tells me, "I don't want to be in your position ever. Just take care of her. That's but we are the leaders in our families. And that doesn't mean you have to, you know, that doesn't mean you do everything. That just means you let God be God through you. As you lead your family. Take hold of it. We need to pray about this situation. Letting God be God in you. Let's say, Pastor, that's hard, but I tell you what, if we take that time with him, and we let God speak to our hearts, speak to us through his Spirit, and speak to us through the Word of God, let me tell you, it will not be as hard as what we think. Because you have been, because of the born-again experience, you have been reconciled back to your God, the Father, through Jesus Christ. And he's wanting to be the leader that you need to be. See, Joey, turn on, Mr. Jim, turn off those lights back there, please. Thank you, Mr. Jim. Mr. Jim, I tell you, that's a good man.
Thank you.
Miss Gail, did you pay the electricity bill?
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did. Oh, it's just that. See, as fathers, we are the light. And God, as we pray and seek the face of God, we are that light for our family. And we're saying, Lord, show us. Show us. And we're the light for our family. Jelaine, why don't you come? Jelaine's my wife. So she's going to follow me wherever I go with the light. Joey, why don't you come just a minute? Thank you. Hurry up. Come on. He is our child that's at home. We do have Andrew, but he's an adult, so he's kind of... So wherever I go with this light, they will follow me. That's how it's supposed to be. Because we're the light of the world. Guys, you're the light. Now, ladies, too, everybody's a light of light. Because God has, but you know what? God has put the man in charge, the man to be the leader of that home. And in doing that, as wherever he goes, they will follow. So if I come to church, they will come to church. It's good. If a father stays home, most of the time, the children will stay home and not go to church. If a father gives his tithe to the church, they will follow and give their tithe, especially the children, whenever they grow older. It's an example. Example. We need to be that example that they can look to. Amen. You can put the lights on, Mr. Thank you, Mr. Yelkins. Thank you, guys. That's a good job, son. I tell you, you did a great job. Thank you. Be what God has called you. Now, look, as a pastor, I don't look to you as being perfect, as a man. I know that, because I'm not perfect. The perfect one was Jesus. But I tell you, there's things that we can do to make sure that our family stays strong. And we lead our families in the right direction. Don't run away from what God has called you to do. But run to and say, Father, I don't know how to lead my family. I don't know what decision to make. You know, have you ever been in that place? Lord, I don't know what to do. But you just keep going before me and say, Father, you're going to show me. Now, he might speak to your wife and she may come and say, you know, hey, this is what I think. Hey, thank you, Lord. Okay. You know, praise God, she's your helpmate. She helps you in ministry. She helps you to be the best father and husband that you can be. Praise God. And we know we're the best husbands, and we know that. Well, you should have said yes. Amen. Come. I mean, who can get better than Leonard? I mean, you know, come on. Yeah. I mean, who? Let me scale my words. But guys, let's keep it forth. Let's keep that flame burning. Say, Lord, help. And because of the 10, they didn't possess the land. They didn't get what God wanted them to have 40 years earlier. Caleb and Joshua, the two that said, let's go, they did go. And God remembered his promise to them. God has many things in store for you as families, as a church, as a ministry here. We will just keep on keeping on. Just keep on keeping on. Say, put our faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Don't lose hope. I know things may get rocky a little bit, you know, and may not know what to do. Sometimes finances may get a little tough. But keep doing what you know to do. And let me tell you, God will bless. Keep doing what you know to do. And the Spirit of God will lead and guide you. Because I know every one of you guys, everything like, but because it's Father's Day, I know you know the voice of God. I know you do. God has spoken to you things, and God has put things in your heart. You just let that dwell out. Just let it keep coming out. Say, Lord, speak to me. And wives, pray for your husbands. Who said that every day? Good. That's what we need. And ladies also, pray for your pastors. Pray for your pastor. But you know what? Pray that God will move and speak to you, to the Father. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the great men you are. I mean, it overwhelms me at times. You know, you'll come up and say, you know, Pastor, I'll do this for you. Not that I, you know, just it's in your heart to serve and to help. And I thank you for that. You are great people. And I look forward to many years of the power of the Holy Spirit. Must be upon your home, upon your life, upon you as a family. And I pray that, you know, God will give you more finances, more money in pursuit of him, because he's a blessing God. We don't pursue him for the blessing. We pursue him because he's God. But the blessings flow down unto us because of who he is. That God will give you wisdom beyond measure like Solomon. That whenever situation you're in, from good or bad, that God will give you wisdom to know what's right to do. To run from evil and run from sin and run from those things that are not good. That God will give us wisdom to run to the things of God continuously. One of the greatest great man. Passed away not long ago was Billy Graham. Great man of God. Never heard of a scandal in his ministry. I'm not saying there may not have been. I don't know. You know, but I never heard of anything. Never heard of anything. But I know that man, it says, he prayed and prayed and asked God to move upon situations. We as followers, we have to supply, we have to work, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to help in this area, that area, and yes. But let's not forsake God. Okay? What I'm saying is, we can get so busy in the things of God that we forget that we're serving our God. And he wants time with us. He wants to speak to us. You know, he doesn't want to be a short order cook that, you know, we visit every once in a while, you know, whenever we want to. Or we throw up a prayer because we won't do something. But he wants some time with us to share his heart with us. God, thank you for seeking God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Keep on pursuing. Keep on giving and being the light of the world that God has for you. God bless you, God. You may stand, please.